More politics for you here this next half hour. The pool of GOP presidential candidates for the 2024 election is officially grown. This week, former South Carolina governor and U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Nikki Haley, has announced her campaign, becoming the first person to join former President Trump in that race. Questions arise. How does Ms. Haley's background as a woman of color make her maybe stick out from others? And which other female or minority candidates may enter the field? To find out where we are with that process, we welcome to the program Republican strategist and former majority leader of the Minnesota Senate, Amy Koch, to the show on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Hello, Amy.
Hi, Susie. How are you? I mean, other than, you know, a little confusion on the title.
Oh, dear. I'm fine. It's nice to talk to you. It was nice to see you the other day. You are, just so folks know, you also do some lobbying work for a number of nonprofits. So we see each other at the state capitol, right?
That's right. Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. I'm part of a lobbying firm now.
Wonderful.
For about 7 years.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, let's talk. I mean, you watch everything. You're paying attention to politics. It's your job. What do you make of this Nikki Haley's throwing her hat in the ring? And is it obviously historic? Kind of talk about what you see it as.
Well, sure. It's historic. It's an interesting first, maybe last move. It's hard to see. Up to this point, while there have been several names bandied about to run against former President Trump for the GOP endorsement, no one's gotten in, right? So Mike Pence hinted at something, Governor DeSantis in Florida, you know, widely speculated that he might throw his hat in the ring, but no one made the announcement. And now former Governor Nikki Haley jumped in. And so it's interesting to see, will this be a head-to-head? Is this going to be at the beginning? So she got in the water and the water's warm and, you know, exactly what this is going to lead to is a little hard to say. My guess is that it leads to other folks jumping in, but we'll see.
So
that's the first part of it.
Yeah. We'll get into her being a person of color, but what is the timeline, generally speaking, for getting into a presidential election? So 2024, we're at 2023. Well, is there like a time that people start making the announcement, or does it really vary?
It really varies. But when you think about it, you know, a lot of people think, oh, my goodness, it's 2023. You have to jump in, you know, a year and a half. But when you've got primaries that are taking place in January of an election year, which means January of 2024, you're going to start to see primaries. You're going to start to see caucuses. Mm. We're less than a year out. We're about 11 months out. And if you're going to make a serious run, if you're going to gather a team, if you're going to raise the money that's required to be competitive in some of those, particularly in some of those early primaries, which tend to get a lot of attention and a lot of money spent in them, it's not too early. This is about the right time to get in, unless you're, you know, a self-funder. But even, you know, President Trump has been out there, former President Trump has been out there raising money. Mm. And certainly Nikki Haley is not, you know, wealthy. So this is not going to be a self-funded campaign. She's got to be out there and raising money. So this is about the right time.
Is she an interesting candidate for president? I mean, she is an Indian American. She talks about her parents and having her father wear a turban and her mother wear a sari. And, you know, as a Republican candidate, how does that sort of play out? How does her ethnicity play out in that field?
Yeah, I think she's just an interesting candidate all around, right? I'm a big fan of, as a Republican woman, I'm a big fan of, like, conservative women, that have great head on their shoulders. And I've been very impressed with the governor and former ambassador. She led South Carolina, a very, very conservative state, in a way that, definitely there's no one that can, no one can question her conservative bona fides, but she made some moves that were a little out of maybe what people would think would be out of character. So, for example, she led the way to remove the Confederate flag from the Capitol. right? And she said that's a part of our past, but that's not what South Carolina is any longer. She, even in her stepping into the race, she pointed out something that Republicans know, that everyone knows, it's just a fact, but that nobody really talks about. And what she talked about is, I think she said the last 7 of the 8 presidential races, we have not won the popular vote. Mm. We have won because we win, because the Electoral College is a fact. And if you get you reach a certain number of electors, then you are elected president of the United States. Mm. But in fact, George W. Bush didn't win the popular vote the first time. The second time he did. Mm. Certainly we did not. President Obama won handily, right? Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. And her point was, like, Republicans, we can't, it's not sustainable, right? And we don't have a majority of Americans supporting us. And we have to get back to that, which is something we just don't talk about.
And Amy, on that note, because that is a great question, that the Republican Party itself, you know, you look at least sort of looking at the big picture, that when the Bushes were in the White House, the father and son, and other Republicans, they were, at least in my opinion, I have no idea if I'm saying this right, they were a different brand of Republican than former President Trump and some of the more far-right conservative members of the party. Is it possible to get someone who's more of a Bush presidency, like a Nikki Haley, or is it have to be to the far right?
Well, I hope not. I hope that we can come together and decide that winning and leading is more important than sort of like standing like a rock on a principle that some of us, you know, don't necessarily even recognize as conservative. And I've made that statement a couple times about former President Donald Trump. I grew up as a fiscal conservative, as a hawk, a lot of common sense, like national presence conservative. And, mm-hmm. and I didn't see a lot of that in President Trump. And then folks say, well, we can't win anymore. Like, you know, like even in like the state of Minnesota, right? Republicans say, well, I just don't think we can win statewide anymore. And I say, well, that's completely and entirely false. We can't win statewide with the candidates that we've been putting up that run in a way that is contrary to, you know, what Minnesotans value. But in the last election, for example, we had a candidate for state auditor, and no one even knows, you know, really what the state auditor does. Mm-hmm. But that narrowly lost by 0.34% of the vote. Mm-hmm. Our AG's candidate, Jim Scholz, narrowly lost by less than 1% of the vote. Minnesotans can not only win a national, but they can win Minnesota. But it matters what candidate you put on the ballot.
We are talking to Amy Koch. She is the former Senate Majority Leader in the state of Minnesota, also a Republican strategist and a lobbyist. And we're talking about Nikki Haley jumping into the presidential race, but the bigger picture of the Republican Party and where it sits right now going into the presidential election with different factions. So, I mean, even looking nationally for a moment at Congress and Speaker McCarthy and kind of handling the far right and trying to make some continuity, some building common ground within the Republican Party. Are you afraid that it's not possible, or do you really think it is possible to find some unification within the party?
I think it is absolutely possible. I've always remained hopeful. I think that Republicans have to start recognizing that a very small tent of just sort of purist ideology is not going to be something that you can lead from. And, you know, Ronald Reagan, who is often held up as a conservative icon, said that if you're with me 80% of the time, you're with me. and that means that there's a lot of space to move around. Mm. And we as a party, to be successful, have to get back to that. Because sort of the purge that's been going on isn't growing our numbers, isn't growing our reach. And by the way, you know, if you're a Republican and you don't appreciate tax increases, if you're a Republican and you don't appreciate everything that's been happening at the state capitol this year, well, guess what? You don't get to just complain about it. You actually have to work and you have to win, and then you have to lead in a really thoughtful, smart way. And so you get don't get to complain about it when you, you know, when you continually put up candidates and support folks that espouse an ideology that just isn't going to, you know, bring in people from different, you know, parts of the state, from different walks of life. If it's a very narrowly focused party, it's just not a recipe for success. So, you know, we've lost the last three cycles of election, really since 2016. We lost in 2018, we lost in 2020, and we largely lost in 2022, which should have been a bang-up year for Republicans. But we've narrowly held the, you know, got the U.S. House, and that's about it. And so if you don't like that, if you disagree with what's going on in your government as a Republican, well, you gotta look to yourself, right? And what did we do that was not acceptable? And, you know, so anyway, just I think Nikki Haley kind of exposes all of that and begins that conversation. And it's one we need to have as a party.
Do you think that former President Trump is got the same power that he once had? Or what are, I mean, can you imagine this next year at this time and all the other candidates that are going to be in the GOP field and how he'll manage that? I mean, obviously, the first time he got the nomination, standing on that stage with all those other Republican candidates, Jeb Bush, that it was, you know, kind of astonishing that he got the nomination, but he did with all those sort of traditional candidates. What will hit? What will it like in your mind? What can you see happening as we get into 2024 with former President Trump?
Well, you know, one thing we all should have learned is you never, ever, ever count out Trump as a possibility. So I would never, ever do that. I do think that there has been, you know, I think when he first ran, there were a lot of folks, well, there, you know, there were just some that are just diehard Trump, right? They just, they like that he's tough talking and they like what he, you know, that he kind of calls people out and isn't the traditional politician. Even though some of the things he says, they don't agree with. But I think there were even more people that were sort of like, well, you know, he isn't a traditional politician and he is a business guy. And maybe we should give that person a shot. And then, you know, there were so many, you know, like, you know, things said and things done that people found just completely unacceptable, you know, leading up to January 6th, where the idea was that somehow, you know, the election was stolen and we should, you know, rush into the U.S. Capitol to stop the finalization, the final vote, the final vote. And I think that so many people, you know, that might have said, well, let's give this person a shot, have kind of backed away from that. Now, that isn't to say there isn't a very, like, still very strong core of folks that support former President Trump. They will continue, I think, to support him, and how that plays out in an endorsement when you might have five, six, seven candidates. If it's not a head-to-head, if it's not Nikki Haley versus Donald Trump, then, you know, then what? How does that play out, right? Which is really the first time around, Donald Trump had about 17%. He had a consistent 17% that was able to carry him through the, you know, the primaries and the caucuses and keep him. And then as people fell out, there was just sort of a natural flow towards him. And he also, you know, garnered all the attention because he is a clip master. He is a, he gets the media to follow every word he says. And, you know, that, that makes, that's got, he always has people paying attention to him, no matter what he does and says.
I know it, like it or not. Again, Amy Koch, our guest, she's a GOP strategist, a lobbyist, and former Senate Majority Leader in the Minnesota House. Let's go back to the state races again. What do you think of the importance or lack thereof of the state convention? Do you think that, so for example, we go to these conventions and we nominate someone, is it maybe the moderate candidate gets knocked out by more conservative candidates just to kind of make sure that the far right factions of the party are, you know, satisfied?
Well, you know, it also happens on the left, right? So these endorsing conventions are, you know, the very hard, kind of hardcore activists, because it takes a lot to get to the state convention. You have to go to your precinct caucuses. You have to get elected out of your precinct caucus. You have to go to your local basic political organizational unit convention, the BPOU convention. You need to get elected to the state as a convention attendee from there. And then you have to go for a couple days somewhere in the state of Minnesota, usually Rochester, Duluth, somewhere as a convention center and spend days in a hall sort of working through with other Republicans that were willing to do that. So it tends to be very, very insider on both sides. Right. The difference, I think, with the parties in the state of Minnesota is that the DFL have not abided by their endorsement. Let's see, last time around, Governor Tim Walz did not receive the endorsement. It went to former representative, now current Senate, state senator Aaron Murphy. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, Governor Dayton did not receive his party's endorsement. In fact, he was sent away from his convention, and it was former Speaker Margaret Anderson Kelleher mm-hmm. that received the party endorsement and then ultimately lost to Governor Dayton in a primary, as did Aaron Murphy lost to now Governor Walz in a primary. Mm-hmm. So the difference is the DFL will endorse, and then the primary voters feel more free for whatever reason. The Republican Party endorsement seems to stick. And or, more likely, oftentimes they're not even challenged. Yeah. This time around, Governor Scott, former governor candidate Scott Jensen received the endorsement, and none of the other candidates that ran against him ran in a primary.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Well, we'll have to wait and see and watch how this unfolds. If I have a chance to come on the show again, we'll have you back on. Love talking to you. And we'll see you at the Capitol this week.
I suspect we will, unless we get all snowed out.
Right, exactly. Thank you so much. Again, Amy Coca, GOP strategist and former Senate Majority Leader in the Minnesota Senate.